नापेशि नाथ हृदयाम्बुरुहत् स्वपुंसाम्। ये तु त्वदीया चरणाम्बुजकोशगन्धम् जिघ्रन्ति कर्णविवरै श्रुतिवातनीतम्। भक्त्या गृहीतचरणापरय च तेषाम् नापेशि नाथ हृदयाम्बुरुहात् स्वपुंसाम्। Please chant. भक्त्या गृहीतचरणापरया च तेषाम् नापेशि नाथ हृदयाम्बुरुहात् स्वपुंसाम्। ये तु भक्त्या गृहीतचरणापरया च तेषाम् नापेशि नाथ हृदयाम्बुरुहात् स्वपुंसाम्। माताजी प्लीज। ये तु त्वदीया चरणाम्बुजकोशगन्धम् जिघ्रन्ति कर्णविवरै श्रुतिवातनीतम्। भक्त्या गृहीतचरणापरयात् च तेषाम् नापेशि नाथ हृदयाम्बुरुहात् स्वपुंसाम्। ये तु त्वदीया चरणाम्बुजकोशगन्धम् Synonyms, ye, those who, tu, but, tvadiya, your, charanambuja, lotus feet, kosha, inside, gandham, flavor, jigranti, smell, karna vivrai, through the channel of the ears. Shrutivatanitam, carried by the air of Vedic sound. Bhaktiya, by devotional service. Grihita charana, accepting the lotus feet. Paraya, transcendental. Cha, also. Tesham, for them. Na, never. Apeshi, separate. Natha, O my Lord. Hridaya, heart. Amburuhad, from the lotus of. Svapumsam, of your own devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhayacharna Arvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O my Lord, persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet, carried by the air of Vedic sound through the holes of the ears, accept your devotional service. For them, you are never separated from the lotus of their hearts. Purport. For the pure devotees of the Lord, there is nothing beyond the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord knows that such devotees do not wish anything more than that. The word too specifically establishes this fact. The Lord also does not wish to be separated from the lotus hearts of those pure devotees. That is the transcendental relationship between the pure devotees and the personality of Godhead. Because the Lord does not wish to separate Himself from the hearts of such pure devotees, it is understood that they are specifically dearer than the impersonalists. The relationship of the pure devotees with the Lord develops because of devotional service to the Lord on the authentic basis of Vedic authority. Such pure devotees are not mundane sentimentalists, but are factually realists because their activities are supported by the Vedic authorities who have given oral reception to the facts mentioned in the Vedic literatures. The word paraya is very significant. Parabhakti, or spontaneous love of God, is the basis of an intimate relationship with the Lord. This highest stage of relationship with the Lord can be attained simply by hearing about Him, His name, form, quality, etc., from authentic sources like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, recited by pure unalloyed devotees of the Lord. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatarubhyasya, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namah. Hare Krishna, I feel very inspired in such a wonderful gathering here. Thank you for the opportunity, and I seek blessings of all my superiors assembled here. It's a very wonderful day, very auspicious occasion, especially being the month of Kartik, and more special being the appearance day of Radhakund today. So, and it's a beautiful verse which is very relevant to a theme like this. We hear how there's this mention of the how the Lord doesn't want to be separated from His devotees, His pure devotees. Why? Because that's the only thing on their mind. The only thing they think about is the association of the Lord. And in the same way, the Lord is thinking the same. He wants association of His devotees. So Krishna actually says in the Bhagavad Gita something on similar lines, that how He reciprocates with people according to their mentality. In whatever respect one is inclined to associate with Krishna, Krishna makes Himself available in that way. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains to this verse, for a person who is doing some Vedic sacrifices just to get some results, to that kind of person, Krishna, He comes at as Yageshwara, He accepts His offering and He rewards him the results that they are expecting for those kind of fruitive activities, the yajñas they are performing. And to an impersonalist, Krishna, He allows them to merge in His Brahman effulgence. Then to a mystic yogi, he awards them in that way, He awards them those kind of mystic powers that they desire. But to the pure devotees, He gives Himself, because that is their desire. So here also we see Lord Brahma. We can understand this from His situation. And also we can consider this pastime of Damodar Leela, how He is reciprocating with the devotees in this pastime, especially with Mother Yashoda and all the elderly gopis of Vrindavan, because they desire Krishna as a child. So He is expanding that loving affection for these mothers so they can appreciate Krishna as their most wonderful, most beautiful, most amazing child. Here we see Brahma is praying for to carry out His service. He is saying these prayers so He can get some strength to do this creative work for material cosmos. And therefore, He is saying these prayers. So to Brahma, Krishna will give benediction in that way so He can carry out this service. We hear in Bhagavad Gita how Krishna spoke to Arjuna. There, He was inspiring Arjuna to participate in this battle and serve Him in that way. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear how when Uddhava, he wanted to go back with Krishna. Krishna told him not to go back with him, but to stay back. But stay back for what? To go and associate with his devotees in Badrika Ashram. Because those devotees, they didn't get to meet Krishna. So Krishna was like, you have to go there and take my message to them. And you can associate with them there and then join me later. So Uddhava agreed to that. So like that, we see there are so many different pastimes. based on the desires Krishna is associating with those kind of devotees in that way. But in this pastime here, we see Mother Yashoda, she just sees Krishna as her child. No matter how much wonderful, how many wonderful activities Krishna performs, she can never accept that he is like Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, when Krishna he showed the whole cosmos, the whole Brahman within his mouth, when Mother Yashoda wanted to correct him for or chastise him for eating earth, eating some dirt, and so it's like a very wonderful exchange there between Mother Yashoda and Krishna. Krishna is saying, you know, I actually didn't eat. And she's like, how can this be true? All your friends, they are saying you did eat. And not even only your friends, your brother Balaram, he's saying this too. Yeah. So he was like, you know what? I don't know if you are aware, Balaram, he's also, you know, although he's my brother, I appreciate him for being my brother, but many times he's also envious of me. You know why? Many times he tells me, you know, you are black, and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they are like fair complexion. So you are not their child, they actually bought you somewhere. And so he calls me names like that. And not only that, like sometimes when I win, then he's also, so they are making a plan against me. That's why they are saying this. So I heard, I think my Guru Maharaj, he was using this verse. This was like, there is so many controversial information going around. So this is another transcendental controversy. Krishna is like speaking to his mother like that, so he can get away with his mischiefs. So it's a very sweet, loving exchange between a mother and her child. But we were discussing yesterday in the Sunday feast, there was a very nice gathering somehow. There were like a good number of people, they stayed back. And we were discussing this point that although Krishna comes like a human being, but a person who is not aware about his qualities, about his personality, they just see him as an ordinary child, just as an ordinary human being. Maybe at max someone who has some extra special powers. But they don't necessarily see him or understand him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, one may say, so what is the difference between these devotees in Vrindavan? Because they also don't see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, Mother Yashoda, when she saw this Brahman within her mouth, within mouth of Krishna, she was actually thinking, what is going on in my child's mouth? Like, what am I seeing? Is this a dream? Or is this like some kind of spell on him? And then she's also thinking, you know, when they did his name-giving ceremony, so Garga Muni, he told them that he's almost like Vishnu. He has like powers like Vishnu. And so she kind of remembered that point also. Maybe it's some mystic powers that my child has been bestowed. But then what did she do? She closed her eyes and she started praying to Narayan, because that's their deity. So she started praying that, please protect my child. I don't know what's going on in his mouth, but please protect him. She wasn't thinking he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and it's okay. What's going on in his mouth is fine. It's just like an ordinary thing to happen. He can do so many more wonderful activities. No, she wasn't thinking like this. She was thinking of the welfare of her child. She was like, why is this kind of thing I'm seeing in his mouth? So Mother Yashoda, she never accepts that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, one talk I was hearing, So this point was being brought up, that what is happening even when Mother Yashoda is trying to bind Krishna, then the Aishwarya Shakti, his powers of opulence, they are trying to manifest. Although Krishna doesn't show his Aishwarya Shakti in Vrindavan, but because they are there from time to time, they try to manifest themselves. So especially when Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna, they were like, hey, don't you know he's Supreme Personality of Godhead? Like, who do you think you are trying to bind? You cannot bind him. So there's this explanation that, but then when Krishna, he saw Mother Yashoda making such a big endeavor, and she was like, her hair were all like all over the place, and because she was running, chasing after him. So in this chase, like she was sweating, and you can see like Krishna could see that she's made so much effort. So what happened, the Karuna Shakti, it overtook the Aishwarya Shakti. So that's how Krishna, he agreed to be bound. Although someone who is holding the whole Brahman within himself, how can someone bind a person like that? But if he agrees to be bound, then it is possible. So Krishna agreed to be bound. Why? Just like here it's described, because the Lord relates to his pure devotees in an intimate relationship. He has a loving relationship, so he can agree to be bound. But otherwise, it cannot happen. Like if someone goes and try to bind Mahavishnu, that's not going to happen. So, but Krishna, although he is coming as an ordinary child, he agrees to be bound. In the purport to this verse I was reading, it's text 11 in chapter 4. Srila Prabhupada is explaining actually that the intensity of love of the devotees is much, much higher than other kind of transcendentalists. So because of this intensity of love, Krishna, who is not even easily attainable by all different kinds of transcendentalists, but to these devotees who may look very simple, who may look like, maybe not necessarily look like very scholaristic, but because there is this loving exchange, so he's saying because the intensity of love, Krishna, he deals with them in a transcendental attitude. It's amazing how Srila Prabhupada uses some of these words in the purports. So he's saying he's relating to them in a transcendental attitude. And that's how all these things are happening. So just to relate to the occasion of Radha Kund, appearance of Radha Kund, Krishna, there is actually Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction, text 9, he is mentioning how the land of Mathura is much more powerful, much more special than even Vaikuntha Lokas. Why? Because Krishna appeared there. He took birth there. And then more powerful than Mathura is Vrindavan, because that's where Krishna spent his childhood. And he had all these loving exchanges with his devotees. But then, even more powerful than Vrindavan is, can anyone guess? No, there is one more place before Govardhan. Why? Yes, because he lifted Govardhan Hill. And what's the other reason? Yeah, because Krishna, he would go there, sport with his cowherd friends, and so many other pastimes would happen on Govardhan. And yes, then more powerful than Govardhan is Radha Kund. So today we are celebrating appearance of Radha Kund. But even more wonderful insight I found in, there is some prayers composed by this devotee, Raghunath Das Goswami. And because it's Raghunath Das Goswami who was living at Radha Kund, right? So he has composed a Radha Kund Ashtakam. So I won't read the whole thing, but just like one or two that I found will be digestible for us. I will share some of those. Actually, before that, I want to share this one point really quick. So how it happened, why the appearance of Radha Kund? It's good to understand the background a little bit. So there was this demon, Arishtasura, and he appeared in Vrindavan in the form of a bull. And he was creating like a big trouble in Vrindavan. The cows, they were so scared of this bull. They were like running in fear everywhere, and the cowherd community was so disturbed, and he was creating a big ruckus there. So the devotees, the cowherd people, they ran up to Krishna. "Oh, Krishna, Krishna, please do something. This guy is creating like a big trouble in the area of Vrindavan." And so then Krishna and the bull, they had an interesting dialogue, you know, saying words to each other. And then finally Krishna took this bull demon holding his horn, and by his feet he like put him down. And but even more wonderful exchange happened after he had killed the demon is the gopis there, they starting having a joking conversation with Krishna, and they were like, "Hey, now you killed a bull, you know, so you become sinful now. So you have to atone for this sin." And Krishna was like, "Oh, okay. I have to atone for a sin? Okay. So what do I need to do?" They were like, "Well, you need to go to all these holy places and bathe there." And he was like, "I don't need to go to any holy places. What I'm going to do is I'll call all of them here, and I'm going to bathe here." Okay. So they kind of agreed to his proposal. And that's how the Shyamakund manifested. So all these holy places, they came. But then they were like, no, we are not going to accept this. He was like, "What about that?" He was like, "We don't know these are holy places. Like, how do we know these are different holy places?" So all the holy places, they came personified and they presented themselves. Actually, in the 10th canto, there is like a whole description of this. In chapter 36, text 16, in the purport is described how this whole exchange is given there actually. So all the different rivers, all the different tirthas, they came and they, in personified tirthas, they presented themselves. So that, "I am river Godavari, I am river Narmada," like that. And then Krishna, you know, started joking back with the gopis. He was like, "You haven't done any kind of like pious activity or something in like all your life. Probably you need to do something also." So it's mentioned because this bull, before like getting into a fight with Krishna, trying to attack him with his feet, he was like creating like a big hole in the earth there. So the gopis, what they did is they just excavated it a little bit more and they created this Radha Kund, but there was no water. So then Krishna was telling them that, "You know, you could take water from my pond." And they were like, no, 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 you are a sinful person. We are not going to take water from your pond. We're going to bring water from Manasi Ganga. So those who haven't been to Vrindavan Parikrama, I believe the Parikrama of Govardhan starts at Manasi Ganga. Is that right? Okay. So my memory is working. Thank you. Yeah, so they said they're going to bring water from Manasi Ganga. But then Krishna, what he did is, he was like, this is not working. So what he did is, he asked the intimate associate of all these holy places, a heavenly personality, to go and pray to Srimati Radharani that please allow us to enter your waters, enter your pond. And then this personality approached Srimati Radharani and he presented this idea that this is Krishna's desire also, and we will become very fortunate if you kindly agree with this proposal and let us enter your pond. And then Radharani, she talked to her gopi friends and they all were like, okay, you know, let's let them. So that's how the Radhakund appeared. But this is the just one glorification by Raghunath Das Goswami, who spent a good part of his life living there, performing bhakti, pure, unalloyed devotional service. So just one thing, one point is, like, Radhakund is not meant for ordinary people, although, you know, these days anyone can go there and, you know, visit there, take a bath in the pond. But one should understand the proper mood to approach this kind of place. That's what Srila Prabhupada was telling his disciples also when he took them there. One has to approach this place with a proper understanding to actually receive the mercy of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. But Krishna, in one of these prayers, Krishna himself, he said that your kund is even more dear to me than my own kund. And not only that, your kund is as dear to me as you are. It's actually no different from you. So anyone who comes, who bathes in this pond, they actually get pure love for Radha and Krishna. So on this day, we can take this opportunity, we can even study about all these things and remember these prayers and remember these devotees who have lived there, especially our gurus and Srila Prabhupada, who has given us access to all these wonderful pastimes and places, so we can take benefit of these opportunities also. So I think that's all I have to say for today. And Sachitanoy Prabhu did remind me that I have to keep in time. So I think we are good with time. We can stop here and we can start our ceremony for celebrating Radhakund. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Kund Appearance Day ki jai.
Kalindi Yamuna Yaya Jaya Mahava. Di Yamuna Yaya Jaya Mahava. Keshigata Vansivata Tadanatana. Kalindi Yamuna Yaya Jaya Vrindava. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindava. Sri Govinda Gopina Madana Moha. Gopina. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindava. Sri Govinda Gopina Madana Moha. Shigata van shigata dwada shakana. Yaha shava lila koilo srinanda nanda. Srinanda yasora yaya yaya gopaga. Srinanda yasora yaya yaya paga. Sridhamari yaya yaya denu vatsaga. Sridhamari yaya yaya denu vatsaga. Yaya Vrishavanu Yaya Kunal Mundari Yaya Yaya Vrishavanu Yaya Purnamasi Yaya Radhika Nagari Yaya Purnamasi Yaya Radhika Nagari Yaya Radhe Yaya Krishna Yaya Vrindavan Yaya Vrindavan Yaya Radhe Yaya Krishna Yaya Vrindavan Govinda Gopina Madana Moha Govinda Gopina Madana Moha Jaya Jaya Gopishwara Vrindavanama Jaya Jaya Gopishwara Vrindavanama Jaya Krishna Sadavatu Dvijara Jaya Jaya Krishna Sadavatu Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Thank you. Hare.
Radha, not the Radha.